Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Booysendi PLC results for the 9 months period ended September 2022. All participants are in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. Participants on the webcast may submit their questions in the text box provided. If you need assistance during a conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please also note that this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to the Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Yusuf Benji. Please go ahead, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for taking out time to be part of this call. My name is Yusuf Benji, the MD, CEO of Booysendi PLC. And presenting with me today are Mr. Jack Bikoski, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Finn Arnoldson, the Group Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Tukur Mohammed Lawal, the Director of Health, Community, Safety and Environment. The operating environment during the third quarter of the year has been largely less supportive, characterized by continued disruption across energy markets, with its impact on pricing, longer and heavy rainfall resulting in severe flooding, bad roads and high inflation, to mention a few. Despite the headwinds confronted with, we continue to make gains on our strategic priorities, both in terms of new market expansion and capacity addition. Furthermore, the contingency plan through the adoption of multi-fuel systems keeps delivering in the wake of heightened levels of energy insecurity, ensuring sustained performance. Against this backdrop, may I kindly ask you to turn with me to slide 10. On slide 10, we show key highlights of our 9 months performance. As previously stated, we have coped relatively well amid the challenging headwinds, and as a result, net revenue increased by 40.5% to 262.6 billion naira from 186.9 billion naira as at 9 months ending 2021. Furthermore, in line with other priorities outlined at the beginning of the year, we are exploring the exportation of clinker to neighboring West African countries. EBITDA increased to 115 billion naira from 87.4 billion naira, though EBITDA margin slowed to 43.8% from 46.8%. Profit after tax increased to 74 billion naira from 65.9 billion naira, with earnings per share at 219 kobo, up from 195 kobo. The expansion drive at the Sokoto and Obu plants continue to proceed as planned, and we remain committed to sustainable positive impacts through the pursuit of existing activities and the identification of new change areas. Slide 11 on the next page shows how we have tried to preserve margins amid rising costs to deliver. Revenue per ton increased by 22.6% to 56,468 naira per ton from 46,224 naira per ton, resulting from price increases during the period. EBITDA rose by 31.5% to 115 billion naira from 87.4 billion naira as at the corresponding period last year, offset by energy costs which impacted both production and distribution activities. EBITDA margin contracted by 3 percentage points to 43.8%. This is compared to 46.8% for the 9 months for last year, for the same reasons, obviously. If you'll turn to slide 12, we show the EBITDA drivers with product appreciation at its core. Net revenue increased by 40.5% or 75.7 billion naira to 262.6 billion naira, given the combination of increased price and volume activities. Cost of sales rose by 43.3% or 43.2 billion naira to 142.8 billion naira, primarily driven by energy and raw material costs. Net selling, distribution and administrative cost was up by 5 billion naira to 4.8 billion. This was attributed to increased distribution costs, led by increases in volume and AGO prices. CSR activities, other administrative costs, and depreciation charges. Slide 13 speaks of our cost profile amid the inflationary pressures. On a per ton basis, cost of sales increased by 24.6% to 30,713 naira per ton from 24,646 naira per ton for the same period last year, due to price changes of energy products and raw materials. In terms of energy costs, we recorded a 36.6% increase to 13,978 naira per ton from 10,230 naira per ton for the same period last year, resulting from market pricing of the energy sources together with devaluation of the naira. Selling, distribution, and administrative cost per ton increased by 54.4% to 4,413 naira per ton from 2,859 naira per ton, led by distribution cost, depreciation charges from the addition of new trucks, CSR expenses, and other administrative expenses. Slide 15 captures the strategic initiatives outlined at the beginning of the year. I would like to say that we are making good progress on each of the highlights, particularly the ongoing capacity expansions at Obu and Sokoto, both taking our installed capacity to 17 million metric tons per annum by the beginning of 2024. In closing, we highlight on slide 16 some of our positive impacts on society. We continue to electrify communities, provide access to clean water, prioritize education as well as well-being with the donation of medicines, construction of town halls, and most especially community roads. On this note, I kindly ask for the phone lines to be open so we can address the questions that are on queue. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on the conference call, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star and then one on your telephone touchpad or the keypad on your screen. You will hear a tone that you have joined the queue. If you wish to withdraw your question, please press star and then two to remove yourself from the list. Participants on the webcast may submit their questions in the text box on the bottom of the page provided. Again, if you wish to ask a question on the conference call, please press star and then one now. Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one now. On the webcast, please submit your questions in the text box provided. Our first question on the conference call is from Mustafa Wahab of Chapel Hill, Denham. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Please, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can hear you, Mr. Mustafa.
Oh, fantastic. Good afternoon, Mr. Yusuf. So I just want to get your thoughts on how, you know, we should think about cement demand in 2023, especially a year that is an election year. Yeah. I mean, we've seen the budgets, we've seen the CAPEX side of things. I don't know if you have, you know, I mean, just your thoughts on how we should be thinking about, you know, volume forecast, you know, going forward. And I mean, it's also nice to get your thoughts on how, you know, I mean, this year we've seen, you know, a lot of price increases, you know, even from the start, from the twilight of last year as well. I was wondering when you think this, you know, charade of higher prices would be over, right? If I would guess correctly, I think Boa Cement actually did around 25%, you know, price increase at the twilight of last year. I mean, I know that you confirmed that you've done, you know, some price increases this year as well. And I'm wondering where, you know, this, how we should be thinking about, you know, prices going forward as well. So, I mean, that would be my questions for now.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wahab. Very interesting. This keeps coming, and I will also, after I say something, I will ask Mr. Finn to really talk about the demand in 2023? Well, we know the budget for Nigeria for 2023 is quite ambitious. We are not really sure whether the government will be able to finance all of it. We have seen maybe part of it will be deficit financing. So with a lot of CapEx, it's an election year. We believe there will be a lot of money going into the economy, and probably the new government would like to hit the ground running and by spending a lot on infrastructure. So we are very optimistic that the demand will be sustained in 2023. You know, in 2023, there won't be any additional capacity coming on stream. The last volumes that came onto the market from the cement manufacturers were basically from two cement plants, the Sokoto Line 4 that was commissioned in January, and the Dangote Okpela plant that was commissioned sometime this year. And I think in between, we won't have any major producer commissioning any new project till early 2024, when Bua Cement will commission two new lines, one in Sokoto of 3 million metric tons and one in Edo of 3 million metric tons per annum. So really, it will be quite interesting. You talk about the price increases. This is really as a result of the very, very high increases in the prices of raw materials, especially energy. If I may just recall, not even from last year, even from beginning of this year, we have had price of diesel going from about 220 naira a liter to almost 800 naira as I'm speaking today. That is a more than a 400% increase. And you know, diesel is what we use in our trucks and sometimes in power generation. We have had the devaluation of the dollar, and this has impacted on those contracts that are dollar denominated, especially for the supply of energy like the LNG and also the natural gas from Nigerian Gas Mining Company Limited. Even though some of these are at official rate, but there has been some shift in the exchange rate compared to last year. Then we have also witnessed quite a lot of increases in the prices of the secondary fuels like LPFO that we were buying at 190 naira a liter at the beginning of the year. This is now over 500 naira a liter and very, very scarce to get until you really import, because the refineries in Nigeria are not really producing anything. So the manufacturers, you know, they have had to actually absorb some of these costs up to a certain level. But unfortunately, you know, we have to pass some of this cost to the consumers, and that's why you have seen these price increases. I'm not really sure it's up to that 25% that you talked about. The prices have been hovering between 3,000 to 3,006, you know, per bag. As at today, X Factory, we are selling from our plant in Edo at 3,300, and from our plant in Sokoto at 3,470 naira per bag. So these are the ex-factory prices. Mr. Finn, I will appreciate if you can say more on the cement demand in 2023 and where the market
Yes,
is.
Mr. Yusuf, thanks a lot. So good afternoon, everybody. Yeah, I will just add some few inputs in terms of the market. First of all, I will touch on these prices, which was mentioned at the second point here. Yeah, you know, we have realized, of course, this appreciation in the prices generally in the market here because of all the input costs are increasing. So as Mr. Yusuf is saying, okay, it's a kind of a balancing act between how much the consumers can absorb of the cost, of course, and also how the company can move on with the business. So it's always a kind of a balance here. But we also have to look into the surroundings. You know, if you look into the West Africa general, you can still see that if you move it into the kind of a benchmarking with Benin, Niger, Ghana, Togo, we are still on the lower side. But of course, it doesn't help the public because they get their salaries and they come in naira. So of course, this is somehow an argument, but we have to cope with the domestic situation. So I think, as Mr. Yusuf was saying, it's a balance. But of course, when the cost rises, we also have to to drive up the prices, but always in a balanced way, as he was explaining. In terms of the market, you know, despite actually a lot of, let's say, fluctuating and volatile news coming in about, you know, the security, infrastructure and so on, we still see a drive in this market. You know, as you remember, last year, the total market in Nigeria was around 28 million tons. It looks as at Q3, we are roughly on between 22 and 23. So that means if we have a, let's say, a reasonable Q4 for all the players, we should touch the figure of 30 million. And that is not bad. But at the same time, you know, if you again compare with the surroundings, Nigeria is still pretty low on the consumption per head, or with other words, per capita. So we still have a lot of room to maneuver in terms of driving up the market. Yeah. For 2023, election year, yes, but it's very hard to predict what will happen. But for sure, all election year we have seen before, it has been a very positive drive in terms of public projects. You know, Nigeria today is somehow dominated. The consumption pattern is actually more private consumers than public projects. But of course, next year, an election year, as we have seen all years during the last 12-14 years, is that it will be a public project drive. So that means we expect that we will continue the trend despite, you know, uncertainties, which we don't really know about, so that we are all, I think all the players are pretty positive for the future also into the election year. Capacities are not coming, as Mr. Yusuf is saying, apart from ourselves, by the end of the year, we should have Edo and Sokoto up running with two new lines. But let's say during the accounting year, it's not much more capacity to be done. So I think for us, for Bua Group, we expect to do very well. Export market is opening up. We are more and more competitive in both in Burkina Faso and as well, of course, in our labor market in Niger. So we also see a good opportunity, a real good opportunity for exporting into Niger. You know, Niger is a market dominated by many players, but the cost for Nigerian producers are very competitive and very low compared to the other guys along the coast exporting into Niger.
Please hold for an operator.
So,
hello,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Oh yeah, I just got off it. So I think this is just my input here. Huh? It's a relatively positive prospect, I would say, as a conclusion here. You never know, but we are at least optimistic. Thank you.
Yeah. So just a follow-on question. I see that you mentioned Niger, Burkina Faso, and Tunisia. Are these markets the market that you are already targeting at you know, supplying clinker to? And what timeline should we be expecting you know, to hit the first markets going forward?
Yeah, you know, for Niger is cement. We have been exporting there for a number of years, but not really massive volumes because we have concentrated and focused on the domestic market. That is always our priority. Huh? But of course, we are building up relatively rapid capacity in Sokoto as well. So we have to look into the neighboring countries. So Niger, we will for sure with some few 100,000 tons participate actively in that market, but that will be with cement. For Burkina Faso, That is a clinker market for our future. We had some test cargoes already there, and it worked quite okay. So when we have more capacity coming up in Niger, in Sokoto, we will penetrate and try to push more volumes into Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is a market today around 3 million tons cement, and they are importing most of the clinker, so we are very competitive from Sokoto. So these are the two main countries. Benin, they have a lot of capacity themselves, so we don't see much opportunities there. So it's mainly for Niger and Burkina Faso from Sokoto, but it's good markets and good prospects in the future.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree with you, actually. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yusuf.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Then the next question is from Chima Edze of Business Day Media. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Chima from Business Day. Congratulations for the release of your numbers. I just want to find out your volume for Q3. Can you just give me a sense of your volume in Q3 and as well as your exports in that period? Let me just get a sense of what you exported and what your volumes are. And just like Wahab said, going into the election year, we're going to see further devaluation of the Naira, and the inflation will be going up. I just want to give a sense, you guys must have done your due diligence, by how much do you think the market can absorb price increase, and what are you looking at when inflation hits around 27%? What is the price target you're looking at to compensate if there is probably volume remains stagnant or volumes drop further? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I think the volumes were in the region of around 4.65 million tons at the end of September 2022. Maybe Mr. Jack can discuss on the price target and also the export volumes. Jack, are you with us?
So we've just rejoined Mr. Pierkowski. Can you just repeat your question to him?
Yes. Jack, can you confirm the export volumes and also what are our price target for next year?
Yes, sure. Sorry, I just lost the connection, so I'm just back, but I heard your question very well. Yeah, the export for these 9 months this year were approximately 62,000 tons of cement. And for the next year, we are forecasting a higher export volume, because we also have the full capacity of the line 4. But for sure, our priority will be to meet first the local demand. So whatever is available for export, we will ship.
Hi. Thanks. Please, I was specific about Q3. Can you help me with Q3 numbers, please?
Q3. Honestly, I'm not sure if I have the volume with me. Yeah, here. Q3 was 20,000 tons of cement.
Yeah, for export, yeah?
Yes.
Chima, is that all your questions? Do you have any further?
Yeah. Thank you. And that has been, I also wanted to know for volumes, but if that's not available, that's fine. I also wanted to know for Q3 volumes.
We will get that for you before the end of this call. The CFO will just check his files and we'll come back. Thank you.
I have the volume.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Sorry, because I did not hear this question when I was disconnected, obviously. So the volume for Q3 was 1.3 million tons.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, we have no further questions in the queue, and I'd like to hand over to Ladipo for any questions that came in on the webcast.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Chris. We have a couple of questions on the webcast. There's a follow-up question to the volumes question from Samuel Bemeke from Meristem Securities. He wants to know, his question goes, also, was there growth in revenue solely as a result of upward review of prices? So the two questions, what was the volume, sales volume for the period? Also, was the growth in revenue solely as a result of upward review of prices? Thank you.
Well, I
thank you very much, the gentleman from Meristem. The growth in revenue was not solely as a result of the increase in prices. We also, you remember, we also brought in another production line into operation in Sokoto. So there is actually a volume increase.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Olainka Adesanya from Stanbic Securities. He says, hello, thank you for the presentation. Please, I would like to get some color on the difference between your revenue pattern and that of your peers. Also, are there any initiatives in the works that can take your pricing to par with peers? Thank you.
Well, definitely we are presenting our results during this conference call. I do not have access to the revenue pattern for the competitors. Maybe that question will best be answered by them. Jack, you have anything to add to this?
Yeah, for us, obviously, I have the revenue per ton was 56,500, which is substantially higher than last year, about 22%. And as you explained before, there is a mix of pricing and volume increase explaining this.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Samuel Bamake, Meristem Securities. He says there was a jump in selling and distribution cost. The jump in distribution cost, was it as a result of the flooding activities? Also, I noted a jump in exchange loss. What is the firm doing to contain it? Thank you.
So regarding distribution costs, yes, there was a big jump, actually. As you can see, the financials were from 5.6 billion last year, it jumped to 12.6 billion. So the main reason for that, there are two. One is the, as Mr. Yusuf just mentioned, the increase of AGO from approximately 200 at the beginning of the year to 800 as we speak. And so with this, we had also the increase of volume. So that's one of the reasons. And then, of course, we have additional trucks. So in these selling and distribution costs, you have the depreciation for these extra trucks as well. Now, with regard to the exchange losses, as you know, as a result of the devaluation, we have some FX exposure, and when we close the exposure, there is the differential between the exchange rate that we use for the closing of the books and the exchange rate that at which we have paid for these FX. So obviously, this differential during the year, actually now the CDN rate, the INE rate, sorry, is at about 439, 440. The real cost at the end, when you include all costs and fees, when you get these effects from CBN, is above 450. This is just an example as we speak, and obviously sometimes we are also procuring effects from other sources where the rate is higher, and this is the reason for the exchange losses, which everybody is experiencing nowadays. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question is from Shegu Adams, AfriInvest. His question goes, there are actually three questions. The first one goes, in light of the shift in macroeconomic environment, are you still optimistic of the Q3, Q4 delivery of the two new plants of 3 million metric tons per annum in Edo and Sokoto? The second one goes, considering the potential drag on demand, is price hike a sustainable strategy going forward? What other strategy is BOA putting in place to support demand? The third question, can you give a sense of the capacity utilization at the Sokoto Line 4 plant? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Shegun. I mentioned during my presentation that the two new lines are expected to come on stream during the first quarter of 2024, both in Edo and Sokoto. The demand, you know, that is actually coming from the end users. We are a manufacturer, of course. Maybe there are some ways we can stimulate demand by encouraging the use of cement products, maybe in other projects like road construction. But basically, the demand is private sector driven, mostly coming from block makers. So not really much we can do towards that. What was the third question, Latipo?
The third question, sir, he wants to know. He wants us to give him a sense of our capacity utilization for the Sokoto Line 4.
Yes, that will be at the end of the year. You know, the line started operation commercially in February 2022. So once we get to the end of the year, then we will be able to give you a realistic capacity utilization. Thank you.
Yusuf, can I just jump in? This is Finn again here. About, you know, the strategy to drive, which was a question, you know, the strategy to drive the market further, despite, let's say, some uncertainties during the 2023. And I think we just need to again emphasize that, you know, we have developed a pretty aggressive market strategy. We have, during the last 2 years, we managed to penetrate new areas, in particular in the northeast, and we're also moving towards the southwest. So we are gradually building up more distribution capacity around the country. And that, of course, it comes with that we will have more capacity. So that is our strategy, that we will be much more, let's say, have more penetration power into new areas, building up new offices around so we can be close to our customers. So we will just capitalize on our long-term strategy in order to sustain the increased capacity. And as we see it, this should absolutely be possible. And if some dark clouds are coming up, we will for sure then look into the export markets if that is necessary. But priority is the Nigerian market, good penetration everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Adewale Stambik IBTC. His question goes, with a possible envisaged price increase due to increasing energy cost and possible devaluation, how do you plan to stay competitive with exports as you capture new markets? Are there possibly new markets to be added to your product line? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Adewale. I think this point has been answered adequately by Mr. Finn. Yes, new markets. Definitely, like when we started the Line 4 in Sokoto, we have had to send most of the products to the northeast, which previously was not being serviced adequately by both our two plants. And also, we intend to aggressively pursue the export market, not only for cement, but also for clinker, and going beyond Niger Republic up to Burkina Faso, where I've done some trial tests of some few trucks of clinker, and it's very, very positive. So we are really going to pursue that. We'll really pursue and push into the new markets. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I actually have two questions here from Abdurrauf from WSTC. I believe by group he means the company. Okay. Please, I would like to ask the trend of the group's market share in 2022 thus far, especially with the additional capacity that came on board. Then his second question is on the announcement of the IFC syndicate loan to expand capacity. What is the progress with that? I would have to read it. Yes, thank you. I'll just look at the third question and then.
Hello?
Thank you, sir. Those are his two questions.
Okay. The market share, Mr. Finn, do you have anything on that for 2022? 2020 is not yet.
Yeah, but roughly, you know, roughly after Q3 and also, you know, how we looking into the next couple of months and so on. You know, we are earlier, you know, because it was Dangote, he had around 60% market share here, and Lafarge and Bua, we share the others. But of course, with our new capacity, we are gradually increasing here. Eh? So, and Lafarge is roughly on the same level because I don't have a new capacity coming up. So we are gradually moving ahead of that one. So it will be something for Bua Group. It will be something between, let's say, maybe 24% roughly, as we see it today. And this market share will continue growing for us in order to streamline the new Sokoto operation as well. So going forward, we should try to gain some ground here. It would be on the 20% plus, 22, 23, 24, you know. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, I will, Mr. Abdurraouf, I would like to mention the progress on the IFC loan. If you recall, sometime in July, we made a disclosure that we are in discussions with IFC and other syndicate partners for a facility. For a facility towards the construction of our new production lines. These discussions have progressed far. We are waiting for the official closing. Once we have the official close, which could be within the next few months, we will definitely make a further disclosure, but the discussions are progressing well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is also from Abdurraouf, WSTC. His question goes, with the rise in interest rates, do you see any significant threat to demand for the private sector? Say possibilities of slow momentum in real estate activities. What is the historical trend like in a rising interest rate environment? Thank you.
Mr. Finn again, how do you see this?
Yes, of course, you know, it's a little bit complicated to predict it really, because all this, it should mean on paper that, let's say, the funds available for people to build, for the private consumers to develop, will be less. But at the same time, you know, it's not that easy to assess it, because at the same time, it's more number of clients coming into the picture here, huh? And we still have to realize that you know, the alternative use for Naira today is pretty limited. You know, with the forex situation, with the transfer out, bank, if you want to put into your bank account, the savings are pretty small, depreciation is high. So we see this in all kinds of economies where you have a high depreciation of local currency, that people are actually turning towards estate, towards property, towards more building, in order to have this as a kind of an alternative investment. Hard to tell if this will really have a direct impact on the overall consumption. But as we see it, we still see that people will invest domestically more than before. So we expect actually that we will not have a huge impact on the cement demand in the first instance. You know, in these kind of things, you will see it on maybe other commodities. Eh? But, you know, when you are starting to build houses, to buy blocks and so on, it's a kind of a long-term process. So bad let's say, the bad times coming to a region or a country, it will always take some time before you really see it on the cement consumption. But let's say during next year and we see the inflation going up, yeah, it could have some impact. But at the same time, it's a lot of other factors which mean that people will still use their surplus available cash to invest into something which gives more long-term internal rate of return, so to say, than putting in into bank account, for instance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The final question is from Balikis from Chapel Hill. He or she would like to know the company's projections for price increase in 2023. What is the highest we should expect in the first quarter of 2023 based on forecasts? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Like we have mentioned during the course of these discussions, you know, the prices are actually reflective of the input costs of materials, especially energy. If energy remains constant or it comes down, in fact, you may even see a downward review of the prices. So we cannot really tell. Things are very, very dynamic and very uncertain in Nigeria. Like I said, when you look at the energy prices as at today, nobody will have thought we'll have this, we'll be at these levels. You know, at the beginning of the year, everything was somehow going on well, and in some instances now we have had prices going up by 400%, especially on energy, which is one of our major cost drivers. So really difficult to say what this is going to be by the first quarter of next year. We just hope the situation remains more stable. You know, a lot of these energy inputs are also dependent on the exchange rate and how easy it is for the importers of petroleum products to get to get the foreign exchange at official exchange rate. So definitely let's wait and see what happens by next year. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I have the questions on queue here. Chris, do you have any questions on queue?
So we have no further questions in the queue. I would like to hand back to Mr. Benji for some closing remarks.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for being part of this call. We truly appreciate, and I wish you a very nice day or evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that then concludes today's event, and you may disconnect.